Welcome to your favorite bookish podcast, Fully Booked and Caffeinated. I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Heather.
And today we will be discussing and reviewing Remarkably Bright Creatures by Shelby Van Pelt. As usual, let's talk about our fuel for this discussion. What are you drinking, Heather?
Currently, I just have some agua, but I did, of course, get my Dunkin' coffee this morning.
My usual. What did you get? Your usual caramel?
Yeah. And then I'm also trying to be mindful about how much money I'm spending on coffee. So I also like bought creamer and stuff for my job so that I can make a coffee there in the afternoon instead of like stopping to get another coffee in the afternoon from like Starbucks or Dunkin'. So Coffee Mate now makes their own cold foam.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. So they have, I believe, French vanilla, brown sugar cookie.
Okay.
Like chocolate chip cookie. And then they actually made one with their sweet cream.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I bought the Italian sweet cream creamer and mm-hmm. the Italian sweet cream cold foam.
Okay. Yeah. That's going to be good. That's going to be good.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, going from two coffees a day to one coffee is going to save you a lot of money.
I know, but even like during the week, I'm trying to be like, all right, I can only put X amount into my Dunkin' account. And once mm-hmm. I expend it all, then I'm SOL until next week.
Mm-hmm. That's why those people who like take out a certain amount of cash and then once their cash is gone, they're just done. I'm like, I wish I was one of those people.
Me too.
But it's so much easier to not even swipe my card. Now I'm like Apple Pay. I don't even need uh-huh. to get my card out.
Exactly. Yep. So.
Wow.
It's fine.
Technology. Anyway.
Doing my best.
Listen, we are.
What about you?
This morning I had peppermint mocha. Because even though Christmas is over, I still have three boxes of peppermint mocha Nespresso. So I had that with peppermint mocha creamer.
Nice.
And it was delicious.
Sounds delicious.
So I'm not mad about it.
On brand.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
All right. So Shelby Van Pelt was born in the Pacific Northwest, but she now lives in Chicago. Sounds like she's very sad about it, and she misses the Northwest.
I feel like I would, too.
Yeah, especially, I mean, just from reading this book.
Uh-huh.
Sounds beautiful, except uh-huh. for the rain. I can't be doing the rain, but that's, you know, don't talk to someone from the Northwest about the rain, because they'll go on and on about it.
I bet they will.
So she won the 2023 McLaughlin Esmond Stearns First Novel Prize. I just fucked that up. I don't know what it is. But anyway, the point is, Remarkably Bright Creatures is her debut novel.
Woo-woo.
Shocking. We should rename this podcast Debut Novel Reviews because that's mm-hmm. pretty much all we do. So Remarkably Bright Creatures was originally published in 2022. It was a Read with Jenna pick. And most of the books we cover on here are New York Times bestsellers. But the crazy thing about this book is that it has been on and off the list since it came out. It was on the bestseller list in December 2023, which was a year and a half after its publication date.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's not just the initial hype with this one. Like, it is, it's really standing the test of time. And I know that, especially, I've seen it more around the holidays. I bought it as a gift for my aunt. Like, it's definitely a book that you can give to someone because it's kind of, I mean, we'll get into it, but it kind of has something for everyone.
It does. I actually agree with 100%.
So our story graph description.
Mm-hmm.
After Tova Sullivan's husband died, she began working the night shift at the Seoul Bay Aquarium, mopping floors and tidying up. Keeping busy has always helped her cope, which she's been doing since her 18-year-old son Eric mysteriously vanished on a boat in the Puget Sound over 30 years ago. Tova becomes acquainted with curmudgeonly Marcellus, a giant Pacific octopus living at the aquarium. Marcellus knows more than anyone can imagine, but wouldn't dream of lifting one of his eight tentacles for his human captors, until he forms an unlikely friendship with Tova. Ever the detective, Marcellus deduces what happened the night Tova's son disappeared, and now Marcellus must use every trick his old invertebrate body can muster to unearth the truth for her before it's too late. Shelby Van Pelt's debut novel is a gentle reminder that sometimes taking a hard look at the past can help uncover a future that once felt impossible.
I can't. I'm already going to cry in this book.
Yeah, this one hits. Uh-huh. But you also know from the first sentence that it's going to be sad.
Yeah, I know.
So we start out with Marcellus McSquiddles, and his chapters are titled as such. Day 1299 of my captivity. So that, and then right out of the gate, Marcellus tells us his life expectancy as a giant Pacific octopus. So already we know this is going to be sad.
Yes.
Also, Marcellus sounds sad and grumpy and curmudgeonly.
I will say, though, that the, and I was just talking to Eric about this before we recorded, the gentleman that voiced Marcellus made this entire book for me. Like, he was the one of the best, like, audio book narrators that I've listened to. Like,
he got that perfect bored voice. And we both listened to this. I think listening to it
is the way to go.
Definitely part of the experience. I mean, all the different accents, the different different voices for the different characters. And I would be curious to hear from someone who read this and see if they enjoyed it as much as... I mean, the story is still good.
The story is great. I don't think I think I'm glad that I listened to it, because I think that it brought an extra element to it that made me, like, love it even more.
Yeah. I don't know if I would have loved Marcellus as much as I do if I hadn't listened to it.
He was, like, literally my favorite character of 2024. So
I definitely see that. So next we meet Tova Sullivan, and I really like how their personalities are set up right away. We know that she's a widow who's grieving the unexpected loss of her son. She lost her husband to cancer, and she lost her brother recently, but to old age. But we also know she's strong and physically capable because she works as a cleaner at the aquarium, and she loves her job.
She does. Lady was born to clean.
The passion. Man. So Marcellus and Tova meet one night because Marcellus is a troublemaker, and he escapes from his tank and roams the aquarium at night to steal fish from the other tanks as nightly snacks. He gets trapped in some computer cords, and Tova frees him, saving his life and realizing right away that he's not as scary as she once thought, and that he has a way of understanding and communicating with her. Tova has a group of friends called the Nitwits.
Oh my god.
Incredible. Yeah. I want to start knitting so I can have the
Honest to God. Honest to God.
So they get together and they eat cookies and drink coffee and yap. But the group is dwindling because as the members are getting older, they're moving in with their children or moving to be closer to their grandchildren. And even among this group of her friends, Tova feels very alone.
Very isolated.
Yeah. And it's a combination of a lot of things. I mean, a lot of it is her doing, of course, but others treat her differently since she lost her son. And it's kind of that pity thing that she doesn't want. And obviously their familial relationships are a constant reminder of what she's lost.
Exactly.
So it's tough for her to feel fully present around these people who are her friends.
Yeah.
And I also feel like all of these women see Tova as a friend, where she sees them as like, oh, just like a girlfriend that I get together with. Yeah. You know what I mean? So then we jump over to Cameron. Cameron lives in California, and he's just an overall frustrating character.
I disliked him so hard in the in this book. And I was like, I don't understand him. And then obviously, and then as the book progressed, I fell in love with him. But like initially, I was like, this douchebag.
Oh, yeah. Anyone who likes Cameron off the jump, I need to talk to you.
Exactly. 100%.
He is 30 years old. Lazy, gets fired from every job, blames, here's the worst part, blames all of his problems on other people. And his girlfriend, bless her heart for staying with him for so long, she gets fed up and she kicks him out of their apartment. Her apartment.
Her apartment.
Her apartment that he was living in.
He has nothing to his name.
Yeah. He has obviously had a tough life. His mom left him when he was very young and he never knew his father. He was raised by his Aunt Jean, who sounds awesome, by the way.
Oh, I loved Aunt Jean. Oh, my God. Like, badass. Another badass.
Like, can we just be a little more grateful, Cameron? But he's always struggled not knowing his parents. So events occur, and Cameron suspects that some rich guy is his dad, and he decides he's going to go to Seattle and shake this guy down for money.
Yeah.
Instead of just getting a job and showing up to mm-hmm. said job.
Yep.
So once he gets to Seattle, Cameron's luck continues as per usual. The airline loses his luggage along with the jewelry he was going to pawn in order to have money for this trip. So his aunt wires him $2,000 and he buys a camper, which I loved. I loved this element of the story because it's kind of unexpected, but it's the perfect solution to his problem.
Because he's
still a pain in the ass.
Because he can't afford to live anywhere necessarily. So he needs this, at least affords him a place to like lay his head at night.
And it's not exactly a commuter town. You know, he needs to drive. So now his next obstacle is getting a meeting with this rich and powerful man. And that's going to take some time. So he meets Ethan, the owner of the only grocery store in Seoul Bay. And Ethan is the town gossip. He's chatty. He knows everyone's business. He has a crush on Tova. And he's also the most kind man ever.
Yeah.
I can confidently say I would die for Ethan. He helps Cameron out, lets him park his camper on the property, gives him groceries, helps him get a job at the aquarium. And bam, we're back to Tova because Tova was cleaning as usual while hanging with Marcellus, and she fell and broke her foot. So now she's out temporarily, and Cameron is filling in. And after this injury, Tova is really being confronted by her own mortality.
Yeah.
She gets scared that if she was really hurt, she would have no one to take care of her. Something could happen to her because she lives alone, and obviously, as she's getting older, that's a scary and real possibility. You know, it's different breaking your foot when you're 30 and breaking your foot when you're 65. It's
exactly.
Your body is not the same. So, and Tova is the kind of person who makes a decision and that's that. She's not impulsive, but once she decides, she decides. And she decides to sell the home that she's been in.
Just like on the fly. Like, just, no real thinking about it. I feel like she was just like, all right, I'm listing this house, and, like, that's that.
And she decides to go to a retirement home, the same one that her brother just died in.
Which, by the way, this place sounds super fancy, but also expensive as heck.
Yeah. But, so they say a lot that, I mean, Tova doesn't really have anything to spend money on. She doesn't need to work at the aquarium. She has all this savings and all this extra money. And she never even has to touch her savings because she just, you know, works at the aquarium. So she's like, I'm sitting on all this money for what? Let me go somewhere where I can be taken care of and has all these amenities. And, you know, she's basically talking herself into what the brochure tells her that her life could be. And I mean, like you said, it's shocking how quickly she pulls the trigger on this situation because she's leaving so much behind. Her memories with Will, her husband, and Eric, her son, her job at the aquarium, the Nitwits group. I mean, just everything.
But I feel like also, like, she feels like the Nitwits is kind of, like, disbanding anyways because the one was, like, relocating to Florida or whatever it was and, you know.
And she kind of wants to, like, get out before she's the only one left.
Yeah. And kind of like what we touched on before, like, she is very isolated in the sense that while maybe some of the women don't have romantic partners, they still have family. And Tova literally has zero. Has zero people in her life that she can fall back on. So the retirement community is kind of like her only choice, realistically, if she doesn't want to be alone.
And the loss is just insane, the amount of loss. So to absolutely no one's surprise, Tova isn't happy that she needs to be out of work with her broken foot. So she starts showing up at the aquarium and helping clean anyway.
Why do I feel like I'm Tova? Because I, like, I literally just had therapy before this. And I talked to my therapist about how I had a baby and I needed to get out of this house. Like, I had such bad cabin fever. I was leaving my house with a two-week-old constantly because I just couldn't be in my house by myself with my thoughts.
That's exactly it.
So and I relate, Tova. I get it.
100%. I get it. I mean, also, not even pointing out the fact that her replacement is doing an okay job, but not a great job.
Not the Tova way.
Exactly. And she's like, I need to show him my ways. Mm-hmm. At first, Cameron is annoyed because he's a whiny baby, and she tells him how to clean properly, but over time, they start to form a sweet kinship, and they just kind of work in tandem and have, you know, this comfortable silence. They chat once in a while. And our buddy Marcellus is like, oh, these two people are clearly related. So now we know, but they don't know.
Yeah.
And we're waiting to see how they're going to come to this conclusion. Mm-hmm. So as I was reading, I'm like, the first thing was when gives Tova the key.
Yeah.
That was her house key, but it was Eric's house key that he had found at the bottom of the ocean. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, this is the twist where like, and then I was like, no, wait, it's being revealed way too early. Okay. And then mm-hmm. Tova is just like, oh, a key. Okay. And just like moves on with her life. I'm like, this is astonishing.
I know, because like he was in the ocean before he was in the aquarium. And so like he found Adam, who the hell was Adam? He finds Eric's key at the bottom of the ocean. And then Tova loses her key in the aquarium. And he's like, I recognize this key.
Yeah.
Because like he found Eric's. And then so then he immediately was like, which... And it's actually insane because this is how smart, like, an octopus is. And that's, like, actually mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
they just know all these things. But just because they can't communicate them to us,
uh-huh.
humans who think they're the superior species are like, mm-hmm. oh, they're just animals.
Mm. I know. We'll get to it. But there was one, my favorite trick was the one, like, the very last one he did.
Mm-hmm. 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 So, yeah, now we know what we're working towards.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to see how everyone is going to come to it and how it actually plays out. We don't know how yeah. they're related.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, some drunk dude who barely knew Tova's son mentions that he was seeing a girl and she starts spiraling. Mm-hmm. It's a secret he kept from her. And could this mystery girl know what happened to her son 30 years ago? Ethan, of course, gets involved because the rumor mill is churning and he knows who the girl is. Daphne. Daphne, who is also Cameron's mother. But Ethan fumbles the bag. He tries to have a date with Tova, but she's like, LOL, no. Then he gets into a squabble with Cameron and Tova ruins his favorite collectible t-shirt, which he keeps under the sink. And he's like, oh, it's like a cupboard. And she's like, no, it's a kitchen cabinet. He's like, it's the same thing. And I mean, girl, I know you like to clean, but this is crazy.
I know. She like cleans his entire kitchen.
And I don't know. Okay. So instead of picking up the phone and telling Tova what he knows, Ethan just doesn't. This whole thing was a little chaotic.
It was.
Like, we could have resolved it real quick.
I feel like because this was going to be kind of like the big reveal, but it was still so early on in the book. And so I think that this was actually a smart move by the author. Because it just, us as the readers know what the ending is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time we think that we're going to get close to her figuring it out, she kind of like throws in like this small chaoses along the way. And it doesn't take you out of the story.
Mm-mm, not
like,
at all.
It doesn't frustrate you. It's just kind of like it makes you wonder how it's going to all come together. So yeah. I thought that this was really intuitive writing and very,
well,
very
it
smart.
Did frustrate me because Cameron.
Well, yes.
That's all. Just
Cameron
because
was
Cameron.
Frustrating, but the growth that she creates for him, like mm-hmm. his whole trajectory from start to finish was one of my favorites mm-hmm. of any book.
Oh, absolutely. So moving right along, Cameron finally scores a meeting with the rich guy and it's so awkward and weird. And mm-hmm. long story short, the rich guy, Simon, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Was best friends with Cameron's mom. And he has no idea where she is now, but they weren't banging, so he can't be Cameron's dad. This obviously just makes Cameron feel worse because he didn't get answers and he realizes that he's more lost than before.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feeds his attitude about life and his misfortune. And even though he was on this great path with a job he liked and he met a new girl and he's starting over in this new town, Cameron's instinct is to bail, like always. So he decides he's going back to California. He goes to the aquarium one last time to get his hoodie or something inconsequential. And he tells Tova that he's leaving. And he throws his dad's class ring into one of the tanks and hightails it out of there. So, of course, Marcellus, who is being really patient considering he knows what's going on and he's just waiting for these dumb humans to figure it out, he escapes his tank and goes into another tank with the... What were they?
Oh my god, I can't remember. There was something weird, though. Like, eels or, like...
Some type of dangerous eels that he's So, you know, it's this whole escape plan. Excuse me, sirs.
Yeah, I'm just here to get something real quick.
I'm just sorry. Stopping through. Excuse me. Excuse
me. Knocking on your humble abode. Do you have some sugar?
Yeah. It's a very cute scene.
Yeah.
So he escapes his tank, he retrieves the ring, but since he's getting older, he's getting weaker, and he can't make it back to his tank. Tova to the rescue again. She puts him in a mop bucket, and he gives her the ring. Alas, Cameron is her grandson. So not only did Tova not know about Daphne, she didn't know that Daphne and her son were banging.
Yeah.
So then we get a chapter about Marcellus talking about how he came to be at the aquarium and talking about his captivity. And this really hits hard. I'm definitely one of the people who's personally conflicted about animals being in captivity at aquariums or zoos. And even though we find out that Marcellus had a life-threatening injury, so he would have died if he was left in the wild, he doesn't want to live without freedom. Mm-hmm. It's not this gift that the aquarium thinks it is.
Exactly.
And instead of, you know, dying out in the wild, he's just reduced to so much less. And it definitely, it's just another way of, like, this book exploring kind of dealing with your circumstances as they come.
Yeah.
And, like, dealing with the hand that you're dealt and not necessarily being happy about it. Yeah. And, you know what learning I mean? Like, just adapt. From a, exactly, like, from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And even though that sounds like it would be out of place in this story, it's not at all. Mm-hmm. Like, this chapter about him, you know, talking about his captivity this, and like, stuff. This,
entire book is the definition of resilience.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So, Tova is getting a little sassier in her old age, and she decides to set Marcellus free so he can spend his remaining time in the wild, which definitely wouldn't work, by the way, because, like, it's not the same water. And also, no one ever talks about Terry finding out and being mad about it.
Good old Terry.
But, you know, she wheels the mop bucket out to the pier, dumps Marcellus into the wild.
Remember when I told you that I listened to this while driving and I started crying? This is the part. This is the part where I'm like, why am I listening to this as I am driving? Because I am just sobbing. Mm-hmm. Because this moment just, like, meant so much in, like, so many different ways. Like, she's freeing, giving Marcellus the freedom that he's been craving. And it's almost like a thank you to him because he gave her the answers and also gave her a grandson that she had no idea that she even had, and she wouldn't have known if it hadn't been for Marcellus. And just her giving him the freedom was just a beautiful, beautiful moment.
And, you know, obviously the way it's written, this is correlating time-wise with Tova saying, I'm not going to that retirement home. I know that I sold my house and I put the deposit on this retirement. I'm not going. And I was stressing.
I was so stressed when the guy from the retirement community was like, you need to, like, sign your financial form to, like, give, like,
your... Yeah, and she's like, go ahead, run the deposit.
I was like, oh my god. I was like, no.
I'm waiting for her to change her mind. Like, this whole time.
And it just doesn't happen.
It's, and I'm like, this is not happening.
I know. Again.
And then it ends up working out. We'll get to it. But anyway, Cameron comes back, of course. And Tova reveals that her son was Cameron's father, and he wasn't absent because he was a bad father, but because he was dead. Good excuse, sir. And they live happily ever after. Tova and Cameron have a great relationship. Tova goes through with selling her house, but she buys a nice condo by the water. So even though I'm like, this is horrible that she sold her house, she got rid of that baggage.
She did. she needed to get rid of that house because there were so many old memories and just kind of like bad juju.
And she says that house had ghosts.
It did.
It had the ghosts of her husband and her mm-hmm. son and her life and what it used to be. And I mean, I totally feel this in real life, like that houses have that energy and they mm-hmm. have, they can have mm-hmm. a little dark cloud over them. So I yeah. totally get how this was basically shedding that baggage.
Yeah. And she's starting fresh in so many different ways in her life. So I feel like this is kind of like the poignant ending that the book needed.
Mm-hmm. And Cameron has a girlfriend. He's excited to be an uncle to his best friend's baby. Ethan is still around, just waiting for Tova to give him a chance. And the dynamic lives on. It's uh-huh. not some crazy epilogue where mm-hmm. all this, you know, Cameron's married to his girlfriend and Tova's at the wedding. No, it's a month later and they're just learning how to...
They're learning each other. Like, they're beginning a relationship that neither thought they were ever going to have.
Mm-hmm. And just being thankful that even though they missed out on it for so long, mm-hmm. they have it now.
They're appreciating it for what it is.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So let's do some discussion questions. What aspects of Marcellus's personality were relatable?
That he thinks that all humans are stupid because they are. And it's true.
Yes, I agree. I think it's that it's relatable that he hates people.
Yeah.
Except for the select few that he likes.
Because and the select few that he likes feel that were like also like the good ones too.
Yeah. Yeah, because mm-hmm. I hate people.
Yeah.
But there are a few that I uh-huh. really like, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Why do you think, I mean, this is an easy question, but why do you think out of all people, Tova is the one Marcellus finally likes?
I think because Tova is just who she is. And I think that if she were a real person, like you meet Tova, I think you like instantly like her. And I don't know, she's just like the sweet little old lady. And she, even like when she finds Marcellus, like she's not panicky about him and she's not fearful of him. And I love that like when he puts his like suckers on him and like leaves a mark and like she just like keeps going back to like feel them. And because she just, they just have like this instant connection and for obvious reasons in the book. And it's just, yeah. I think that their relationship was probably my favorite in the book.
Mm-hmm. And it's so, you know, it could just be, oh, she saved his life, but it's so much more than that. And mm-hmm. anyone who's ever had a pet.
Yeah.
You understand this kind of unconditional love mm-hmm. that you can get from an animal and mm-hmm. the kind of relief and you could feel like the loneliest person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But that relationship with an animal or a pet yeah. or whatever can yeah. fill that void. And I'm not saying yeah. Marcellus is a pet because he's much smarter than everyone. No, but
it's just like you can – it's not impossible to have connections with, you know, an animal.
Because,
mm-hmm. like, I relate to that. Like, the connection that I have with my cat is insane. Like, mm-hmm. I love him more than anything. And it's
100%.
Like,
I mean –
he's the best pet I've ever had. It's just, like, this weird connection. And mm-hmm. I had the moment I locked eyes with his. So it's just like, mm-hmm. it is possible to just have that instant connection with,
yeah.
with another being.
Yeah. I mean, Oreo was my soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I saw this thing online that's like, the fact that you can, you know, have this deep love for animals is just mm-hmm. proof that actions speak louder than words. Because yeah. just because you can't communicate doesn't mean you're not communicating.
No. And you know? It's like, it's an amazing thing to have a pet that can show you affection and that also like appreciates the affection that you give.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like my cat is an anomaly, I swear, because he like gives me kisses.
Mm-hmm.
Like he likes when I give him kisses. Like I'm the only one that can hold him.
He's like a cat dog.
Yeah. Like he like cuddles up with me and it's just, I call him, he comes like a dog, like he's mm-hmm. just like, it's like insane the connection that like him and I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see him, he doesn't have it with anyone else, doesn't have it with Eric, doesn't have it with, well, he still runs away from the baby.
Maybe but, one day. We'll see.
Well, today he actually jumped on the couch and sat right next to the baby, and the baby like touched him and he didn't freak out as bad, but we were eating dinner. So he was being a little scavenger. So he put up with the baby for those 5 seconds to try to get food.
Okay. That sounds like Simba. 100%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So how would you describe how Tova changed from the beginning of the book to the end?
For a woman in her old age, she got stronger. And like I said before, just resilient. Because you can feel from the get-go of this book that she's just kind of defeated. Life just keeps throwing shit at her and she doesn't understand why. And, you know, the house that she grew up in was like built from scratch by her dad. And, you know, the fact that she needs to now sell this house that is the bones of her family is another loss. Like she lost her son, her husband. Now she's losing the last piece of her heritage. And you kind of feel like, when she resigns to the fact that she's going to live in that retirement community, that was so sad for me. Like, I just felt this deep sadness for her, especially knowing that she had a grandson. Like, especially knowing, like, what she had that she didn't even know she had. It was just so depressing, and I felt so bad for her. And then for her to kind of finally come back and see the light and realize the mistakes that she's making, and then discovering that she has a grandson and, you know, trying to make things right. Like, she goes on like eBay and buys like a Grateful Dead, the same exact Grateful Dead shirt for Ethan. What was it? Like
$2,000.
And
then she drove like 3 hours to go pick it up.
You know what I mean? So even though like she's maybe, I just don't think that she's ready to be like romantically involved with anyone because she loves her husband so much, but she definitely has this kinship with Ethan. And that just goes to show the fact that she went to all these, jumped through all these hoops for him. And she just, she kind of like just grows more. Like, you think that you reach a certain age in your life and that you have no more growth and you can't, this is it, end of your life. This is it. But she chose the proof that it's not it. That things can change in the drop of a hat and you can make the best of it. And that's what she's doing. And now she's gaining this whole other life that she never, ever dreamed possible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's...
And at the beginning, it's so frustrating as the reader because you just want to shake her. Like, she feels like she has no one and you want to be like, look, Ethan is not just the nosy supermarket guy. He loves you. All of your friends they love you. Like, they want what's best for you and you're pushing them away. And it's understandable, but it's still frustrating. And so she definitely realized the importance of choosing your family and being able to ask for help. And she learns that it's okay to want to be alone, but that doesn't mean you have to be lonely.
Exactly.
That is two very different things. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing is she learned that moving on doesn't mean forgetting.
No, and that's another thing too. Because I think for her, I think she felt like leaving that house was leaving everything behind.
And or not thinking about Eric every single day.
Yeah.
She wasn't honoring his memory. So obviously a major theme in this book is grief, and it's manifested in so many different ways. So like we've talked about, Tova's grieving her son and her husband and her brother, the relationship she had and what she wishes she could have done differently while they were alive. Cameron is grieving the life he never had. He speculates that his life would have been so much better and so much easier if he had his mother and a father. And Marcellus is grieving not only the loss of his freedom, but also his short lifespan.
Yeah.
And it's interesting the way that the characters deal with this grief. So it's at the very beginning of the book, Tova empathizes with the sharks in the big tank and says that she understands what it means to never be able to stop moving, lest you find yourself unable to breathe. And that's exactly what you were talking about before. And I feel this too. Like,
I can't even, like, that just hits like so fucking hard. Like, it's insane.
And like, I mean, when my dad died, I was making lists. I was making phone calls. I was getting everything planned and organized and done. And I'm like, I cannot stop for 1 second. Mm-hmm. And so I totally get that. And it's just amazing that even though she has this lonely life, she's finding ways to keep busy, keep moving, mm-hmm. keep trucking, you know?
Because she doesn't want to sit with her feelings. Mm-hmm. And like,
I mean, fucking relatable, Tova. Jeez.
You know, and it's ironically, this is actually so funny that we're talking about this book right after my therapy session, because this is like this was the whole conversation of my therapy today, was sitting in my feelings and how I don't do that and how I always keep myself busy because I don't want to sit with my feelings, and that growth is scary. Mm-hmm. And that's like my biggest hurdle. So like, I feel Tova because mm-hmm. growth is scary. Like, she doesn't really want her life to change. She wants to go back to like how it was. Mm-hmm. So she's keeping busy, because if she doesn't, then she sits in her grief, and she doesn't want to sit in that grief. She just wants to like keep, like you said, just keep trucking. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want to like really look at her life and where she's at.
And even us as a society, it is so easy to ignore your yeah. feelings, to watch mm-hmm. reality TV 24 mm-hmm. hours a day, to scroll on TikTok, to constantly mm-hmm. have a podcast or music going. I'm literally talking about my own life. Wow. But because like, even when I'm at night washing my face and brushing my teeth, I have a podcast on because I just don't want to be alone mm-hmm. with my own thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Either I have like, a podcast that is fucked. Or I'm listening to music. Like, I mm-hmm. can't. You know, it's like, it's just, it's so insane that we as people are so afraid to do that, mm-hmm. to just try and like look at our lives. And
the craziest part is that our generation is finally going to therapy, finally talking about therapy, finally taking our mental health into our own hands. And we're still struggling in this way. Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, 50 years ago, you kidding me? It was so stifled, and so the avoidant behavior was so much worse. So it's like, it's crazy that this is us getting better.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We are breaking the cycle, and now the next generation, you know, Millie's generation should be very inept at feeling. And like, that's my biggest goal, is to just make sure that she can articulate how she's feeling and not be afraid to feel what she wants to feel. Mm-hmm. You know?
Definitely. And it's crazy because we get this exact opposite from Cameron. He deals with his grief by doing nothing, mm-hmm. by avoiding it, by wallowing.
And he doesn't even like feel sorry about it. In the sense that he doesn't care who he's hurting to feel this way. You know, like, he loses significant others because he's like lazy and mm-hmm. everything. And you know, he creates relationships and then he kind of breaks them down because of his attitude. Mm-hmm. Because there was that whole scenario where Ethan was going to hire like an assistant manager or whatever. And Cameron was pissed that Ethan didn't offer it to him. And Ethan was like the first person, I feel like, to like look him in the eye and say like, you're not ready for this job. Like, mm-hmm. you just think that I'm going to hand it out to you and that you deserve it. But like, you haven't proven to me that you like can handle a job like that. And Cameron like gets all like huffy puffy about it. Mm-hmm. And then like eventually he realizes about like, it. And then he realizes like, oh no, like, you know, he reflects on it. He mm-hmm. finally gains some maturity and like he reflects on that. He's like, no, you know, you're right. Like, that's mm-hmm. not, that wouldn't have been.
But that's why Ethan is this amazing person, mm-hmm. because Cameron is basically saying, oh, how hard is it to run a fucking supermarket exactly. like you're exactly. doing it? And Ethan is being so patient with him and saying, listen, if you want to get in the business, I will train you. Uh-huh. I will lead, but you can't start as a manager. Like, mm-hmm. Ethan is just so patient and so kind. And Cameron is taking advantage of that and thinking that it's okay because he was dealt a bad hand in life. Exactly. And this is, I mean, we see this all the time. People blaming their behavior or defending their behavior because they had a rough childhood or they yep. had a, you know what? We all had shit. We all have our own shit.
Yep.
It is not an excuse to mistreat other people. Mm-hmm. And that's what you talked about, breaking the cycle. This is a cycle that needs to be broken too.
Yeah. 100%.
And, you know, like we said, he does. And you do like him by the end of the book, mostly. I still want to punch him.
No. And I like, he's not, obviously he didn't change overnight. He didn't become like this perfect person, but you do see the changes that Sol Bae made in him because of the relationships that he created with Ethan, with Tova, with his girlfriend, whose name I can't freaking remember.
Avery.
And Avery. You know what I mean? Like he finally has, like he has his relationships back home, which are great influences on him. But the fact that he comes to this new life and he creates these new relationships and they just change him for the better. And I think like that's like what he needed. And it just helps him. Every single one of those people that have graced his life have changed him in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's helping him become a new person, still be himself, but become a better version of himself.
And helping him understand, because his friends from home were moving on with their lives. Like, he couldn't believe that they got together. He couldn't believe they were having a baby. He couldn't believe, you know, that Brad wanted to quit the band. Moth Sausage. Don't even get me started on Moth Sausage. But the fact that he wanted to quit the band, like, he didn't want to grow up. And so it felt like he was getting left behind. And then as he is building this new life, he's realizing that he can be where he is. And there are people who will meet him where he is. Mm-hmm. But he has to treat those people well. He has to kind of give that same gratitude back. You know what I mean?
And he had, and like that's what he had to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So Sol Bae was the best decision he made.
Oh, definitely. And like Avery, good for her.
I loved Avery.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. Me too. I wish there was more of her son in it, actually.
Oh, I know.
Because I liked him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, on this theme of grief, personally, I do think that this book oversimplifies grief a little bit because Tova was able to move on because she realized she still had family. Mm-hmm. And then, in turn, she realized the importance of her independence, her friends, etc. But if she never found out she had a grandson, would she have made these same decisions?
Absolutely not. She would have moved into this retirement community and kind of just been alone and would have to sit, and she would have be forced to sit in her feelings. And I think it would have had a negative impact on her.
Mm-hmm. And same with Cameron. Kind of, he never would have come out of this funk if he hadn't found Tova.
Mm-hmm. His life would have stayed on the same trajectory of, like, I could see Cameron being someone that just kept going to new places to start over. And as soon as the first whiff of failure comes up or rejection, he just, like, skedaddles the fuck out of there and just keeps restarting without learning.
Mm-hmm. Or without taking accountability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now here's my main question. What the hell happened to Tova's son? We never actually find out.
From what I gathered from the story, I think that his boat, like, capsized or something. Like, the boat...
Yes. But they never say definitively, and they never say if she was with him, she wasn't with him.
I think she... I don't know if she was with him, but I don't think she was, like, on the boat. Like, I think she was just on, like, the shore. And I think she saw it happen, and then was kind of just, like... dipped out of there.
I think waiting for this definitive, like, we find out what happened.
But I kind of like that it is open-ended, because how would we actually know?
Yeah.
There's no way to know, because Daphne is, you know, AWOL. Nobody knows where Daphne is.
Yeah, we never find out about Daphne.
And, you know, Marcellus isn't going to hold the key and, like, be like a sensei and be like, oh, I see everything that happened. You know what I mean? He's like, it's like, you know, so he, all he knows is that Eric died down there he doesn't know how or why, but he knows that Eric died down there. And, like, you know, no one can know. Like, there's no way for us. So I think it is kind of, like, leaves it to the reader to interpret how it happened. But, like, he obviously drowned. Mm-hmm. And there was booze on the boat.
Yeah, you know? And they're saying so he might, like, have been drunk, and so he...
You know what I mean? Like, there's just...
Yeah.
But, like, clearly it was an accident. It wasn't nefarious behavior. It just happened. Mm-hmm. Like, because I know a lot of it were like, oh, he committed suicide. It's like, no, like, he was just, like, it just happened.
It was just an accident. Yeah.
Yeah,
as soon as I finished, I was kind of annoyed that there were these unanswered questions, mm-hmm. or there was a couple, you know, things left hanging. And then as I started to, like, reflect on it, and because mm-hmm. this is definitely one of those books that you can't rate right away. You have to kind of, like, look at the bigger picture of, I mean, right away you could know that you loved it. But I mean, it's more complicated than just, like, oh, I finished this thriller and it was good. You know, like.
No, I agree. Because there's so many aspects to it. And mm-hmm. there's so many little stories that make it into this big story.
Mm-hmm. And so many characters and so many separate journeys and mm-hmm. just all of that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I have a couple of quotes from Marcellus to bring us to our ratings. So he says, "Why can humans not use their millions of words to simply tell one another what they desire?" I wish I knew, Marcellus.
I was just going to say, Marcellus, I wish I fucking knew. You know how much easier my life would be? It
sounds easy.
If I could just communicate my feelings.
Or if everyone else could communicate their feelings to you, like, life would just be so much easier.
So much easier.
And my favorite, humans, for the most part, you are dull and blundering, but occasionally you can be remarkably bright creatures.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Incredible. And in the beginning, I don't remember who's talking, but they're talking about how animals, especially octopus, can be... like, are remarkably bright creatures. Mm-hmm. So as you're reading, that's what you think the title is about. And you think it's about mm-hmm. Marcellus and mm-hmm. him being this remarkably bright creature. And then you get to the end and you realize, no. We're talking about the humans in this book and their growth and their journey to learn mm-hmm. all these new things. And I thought that was masterful. I love that.
I agree 100%.
Anything else you want to discuss before we get to our ratings?
No, I don't think so.
So our rating scale is shiny trinkets for Marcellus to collect.
Oh, so cute.
How many trinkets are you giving Marcellus?
Well, we already know I gave this book 5 stars. This was, like, my favorite read of 2024. Like, hands mm-hmm. down, this was probably the best book that I read in 2024. It's just so good. It was unexpected. I went into this book completely blind. Like, I just remember seeing it all over Bookstagram and people, like, talking about it. And then it, like, popped up on my Spotify for audiobooks. And I was like, all right. I was like, let me just listen to this book. And then I instantly fell in love with Marcellus. And then I instantly fell in love with Tova and the story that Shelby Van Pelt was creating. And I got so invested in it. And it's just one of, like, the best books. And I recommended it to, like, so many people too. It's just,
and you really can't anticipate what it's like, because everyone says, oh, there's an octopus character. Like, it's not,
you hear that and you think it's gonna be something, like, corny
or cheesy or whatever, mm-hmm. or lighthearted, and it's exactly. not it's, and it's so not. Much different.
It's such, like, a deep book, and it has so many themes that each person is going through with themselves on their own journey. And what happens when they come together and realize that they're, like, not alone.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. The audiobook really sets mm-hmm. the tone for that when it opens with Marcellus and his whole demeanor. And, you know, starting by talking about his captivity, you're like, oh, this is not what mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be. You know?
Yeah. And, like, definitely one of my favorite parts of this book was when Tova frees him from the aquarium. And, like, I know, like, the logistics of it, like you said, like, he probably would die as soon as he hits the water, but he was gonna die anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Tova is giving him the grace to die how he wants to go and in the home that he first knew. So this is kind of almost like like Tova has her own rebirth, and this is kind of like Marcellus's rebirth because he gets to just go home, mm-hmm. which is all he wanted. And then Tova's going back home because now she has a new home with a family member that she never even knew she had. Mm-hmm. So they both get the ending that they craved.
Right. And I didn't even think about it until you just said that, but it kind of lends to this whole like assisted suicide thing. Mm-hmm. You know, people who know that they're dying mm-hmm. and they don't want to die in pain yeah. and they want to die on their own terms. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's Marcellus. And yeah. the best part about it is that Marcellus couldn't communicate that to Tova.
I was just going to say that.
She mm-hmm. knew it.
The fact that she could understand what he wanted without having the ability to actually speak to each other. But the two of them from the jump just were able to have this creative communication with each other, you know, like the way that Marcellus looks at her mm-hmm. and everything.
She reads his expressions and a wave of his arm.
Exactly. And so like the way that she was
and
so
she
smart.
Never second guesses that decision once. She knows mm-hmm. that this is what he wants. And not mm-hmm. just because, you know, not just because, oh, animals in the aquarium should be free. No, she appreciates all the animals there, but she knows that Marcellus is different because he is so smart and because he grew up in the wild and just mm-hmm. it's
he keeps like escaping his tank even uh-huh. just to be curious. And like, so she knows that like the four walls of a tank is not what he deserves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when I first finished, I originally thought 4.5 shiny trinkets because I was very annoyed that I didn't get answers to some of my questions. But then this is what I was saying before, like once I stopped, I was like, no, Marcellus alone makes this 5 stars mm-hmm. for me. Tova is one of the best characters I've read about mm-hmm. in a very long time. Like she just is such a badass. She's so lovable. Like I love her so much. And then when you start thinking about how deep this book is and how there's just so much to it, mm-hmm. I mean, it's five shiny trinkets yeah. for me. I think one of my favorite things about this is that I could see myself in all of the characters, especially the three main characters. I get Marcellus. I get Marcellus's. That's hard. That's a hard one.
That is.
I get the distrust that Marcellus has of other humans. Mm-hmm. I get Tova's need to be busy all the time. Mm-hmm. And I get Cameron's pessimistic attitude. Mm-hmm. I can relate to all of it. And I love that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if we haven't already sold you on the book, you have to read it.
It's just like funny because I feel like a lot of the books that I love the most in 2023 were the ones that didn't have like a clean cut ending. They were the ones that kind of make you think after you read it and like reflect mm-hmm. on your own life in ways that you would rather not, but you know that
yeah
you, have
you
to.
Do like books like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like books that tear me the fuck apart.
Yeah, I'm not so why, much like do. That. I'm like, shall we read a slasher? And I'm like, literally tearing me apart.
And I'm like, let's get deep. Mm.
Wow, you're a bad influence on me. Anyway,
but I'm glad that you read it.
I really liked it.
And I'm glad that you liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm happy that this was a book that you also enjoyed because it could have gone either way, mm-hmm. honestly. Because I know it's not your usual genre. It's not your usual type of story. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, I made you read a book with a fucking octopus as a POV. Mm-hmm. Like,
but I'm definitely starting to really appreciate this mm-hmm. genre a lot more, especially mm-hmm. after that TJ Klune book that I read.
Yeah.
It's this fantasy type book that's not because when you think fantasy, you think like
it's Akatar. Not far-fetched.
Yes, but it has that little bit of fantastical element yeah. that helps you explore these real things in real ways, like mm-hmm. grief and death and mm-hmm. resilience. Like you said, like it's just this is what reading is supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be an escape, but it's also supposed to make you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great example of that.
And that's why I love books.
Damn, I wish there were less books. I have so many to read.
So many.
Anyway, anything else you want to add?
No, I don't think so.
Well, that's all we have for you today. If you like what you heard, please make sure to follow, subscribe, and rate and review the podcast on whatever platform. If you have any book recommendations or questions for us, you can email us at fullybookedcalfpod@gmail.com. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at fullybookedcalfpod. We have a TikTok. We still have, when this comes out, we'll have like 3 days before the ban.
But
there's still a chance, and there's a chance that it might not be enforced. We're just going to see what happens.
I know. I feel like everyone is just on their tiptoes, like, what's going to happen?
It's unknown right now.
But then it's like, I watched this video today on TikTok about this guy. Oh, God, where was he? Oh, I can't remember where he was. But he owns a landscaping company, and he just goes to this old lady's house and, like, it's in a shape, and he just does it all for free. And this lady's just like so thankful. And she was like, I don't know why you're doing this for me. And it's like, cause she didn't think she was like deserving of it. And then the guy creates a GoFundMe for her because she is handicapped and needs like the house that she's in, like, isn't well equipped for her. And then when he says like, they raised over $500,000 for this lady. And she's just like, why? Mm-hmm. Like, why me? And it's just like, these moments TikTok has given us. Well, I think TikTok's like not the best place. It does give it gives the opportunity for good things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. It sucks that like that might get taken away, but a new app will just end up on the market in the next year. So it'll be fine. But yeah, I just don't get it. I don't get the
We have bigger fucking problems.
I know. You know, but like, you know, don't forget, like, global warming's not real, but look at California.
Someone just get a fire hose out there. That's all you need. Christ. Okay. Thanks for checking us out. And remember,
if you need us, we're fully booked. Sorry, I was drinking.
That's going to go.
Bye. Totally forgot.